So I think you could sum up the message of this passage we're looking at in 1 Peter 3 as, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. This scripture calls on us to be peacemakers. And it's encouraging us that if we do so, that certainly leads to God's blessing, to peace. And that the Lord will hear our prayers. His ears are open to the prayers of the righteous, to those who are the peacemakers that are described in this passage. If you remember last Wednesday evening, we looked at verse 8 and its instruction for how we ought to love one another as Christians. Now from verse 9, the scripture seems to be teaching us about how to handle conflict. In particular, how to respond when we're being evilly treated. If we're being abused, reviled, someone's telling lies about you, saying evil things about you, cursing you, false accusations. How do we respond? And then when you look down to verses 13 and to 17, you see that Peter goes on from there to talk about persecution and how non-Christians may abuse us and treat us poorly. But surely everything he says here, it applies to all kinds of injustices we might suffer or attacks. And of course that we're being told we mustn't retaliate. We're to patiently suffer such things. We're to endure, we're to forgive. We're to seek to do good to those who would do us evil. And of course, in all of this, we're being told we're to follow the Lord's own example. I think it's important to say, just to be clear, this call to be a peacemaker and not seek revenge or retaliate evil doing, that doesn't mean we can't use legitimate and legal means to defend ourselves and defend others, or to stand up for what's right. You know, if someone's unjustly attacking you or even slandering you publicly with sin against you, there's actually even a moral duty to challenge that privately and, if necessary, publicly. And you have the courts of the church for that. You have civil courts. But even if you have to take action, this scripture is clear about what our goal is. Our goal is we want to be peacemakers. We're not looking to hurt. We're not looking to do wrong to somebody. We're not looking to punish, really. What we're trying to do is act redemptively. We're always seeking to try and recover somebody, to rescue somebody from sin, to restore a situation or a relationship. We're always seeking to show them grace. Now, certainly in our context, it struck me in the years that we've been here on the estate, there are some real feuds that between families on the estate that go on for generations. There can be at times some very nasty behaviour where there's been a falling out between people. And so actually this message and this call to live a radically different way and be a peacemaker as a Christian is something that the folks around us really do need to hear, and they really need to see us living it and showing them that there's a better way. But just one last thought on this is something I've always found helpful is there's a book called The Peacemaker by a pastor called Brian Noble. And he describes being a peacemaker a bit like a pendulum on a scale. If someone's attacking you, well, at one end of the response, you could be a peace breaker. You could blow up the situation. You can get angry. You can get defensive. You can get aggressive. You can fire the arrows back at them. You can be a peacebreaker. But at the other end of the spectrum, it's also a danger we could be peace fakers, that we can bury our head in the sand, run away from an issue, not face a difficulty, cover things up, because we just want to avoid conflict. And we can't always do that either. And to be a peacemaker, to grow up and follow Christ's example, is somewhere in between. We are to respond with love, patience, with truth. And so, of course, when you think about that spectrum and where we all come down on it somewhere, this is enormously difficult, isn't it? It's enormously difficult to get right in our relationships. Enormously difficult to get right if you've got an enemy who's having a go at you. So throughout this passage, Peter's teaching us and he's encouraging us to be peacemakers. That's part of our calling, he says. And of course, he's quoting from Psalm 34, to encourage us. Now, just the first key point that I just want to make tonight is he tells us that true peacemakers must police their tongues. If we're to be peacemakers, we've got to police our tongues. And I'd like us just really just to look at verse 10. It says, he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Now the blessing that's promised there of life and good days, I think this refers not just to blessing here and now that we might expect as a Christian and the peace we can have now. I think ultimately it's really referring to eternal life, to the endless good days we're going to enjoy in the kingdom. I think that's how the promises of life in the Psalms should primarily be understood. And he's saying really the children of God, the sons of God who'll inherit such things, must be peacemakers who control their tongues. If you look in the footnotes of your Bible, if you've got a New King James Version, you'll see it says that the word refrain here could also be put as restrain. Restrain. We must restrain our tongues. This is so helpfully honest, isn't it? You know how hard it is when someone insults you or tells a lie to bite your tongue and not respond in a poor way yourself. It's so hard. You know, there can rise up in you a sense of righteous anger, of indignation. And it's difficult to channel that and hard to restrain and hold back. And I would imagine we've all known times of regret when we've responded with anger and harsh words and we didn't get it right. Someone may wound you and the words can be deep. And it is so hard not to lash out with your words in response. And if you think about these words, refrain and restrain, it's honest. Sometimes it will take all of our strength just to stay silent, just to hold back and not fight fire with fire. And I think there's something very realistic about this as a command. The Lord must know how hard this is for us. And so mercifully, he's saying, you know, in a sense, start here. Just don't say it. Don't insult back. Control that tongue. And of course, Peter's instructions here, that they're exactly in line with what we're hearing from James. He warns us about the danger of the tongue, of our words, the huge damage that our words can do. If we allow our tongues free rein, and James says they can be, our words can be tremendously destructive. How great a forest is burnt down from such a little fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, and it is set on fire by hell. No man can tame the tongue. I mean, think about the image of a small fire growing and growing till it consumes a great forest. You know, once something is said, it can't really be taken back. And then it can grow and take on a life of its own. And you don't know what damage it can do. So restrain. And I think, too, he talks about speaking the truth. Keep our lips free from speaking deceit. Keep them. And again, the danger is when we're under attack, when evil people are doing things, it's really easy to be less than 100% honest when you feel you've got to defend yourself. We can exaggerate things, put a spin on things, leave certain things out in an attempt to defend ourselves or put ourselves in the most favorable light, to try to justify ourselves or exonerate ourselves, even when we are basically in the right. And it can be so easy, so tempting, just to put a little spin on things and get a little dig in. You might pull back a lot and say, well, I'm going to be pretty good, but still there's that little bit of something, a little bit of a knife in the ribs that you can get in with your words. These struggles with the tongue are just part of our ongoing struggle with the flesh. And so just very realistically, to be a peacemaker, don't retaliate. Restrain the tongue. If I could add images to what James says, he's saying it's like, you know, you're trying to wrestle a wild animal here. It's like a policeman trying to subdue a dangerous criminal. It's like a dam trying to hold back surging floodwaters. And so often to be a peacemaker and to respond the right way to enemies, the real battle is here in the heart. So sometimes just stay quiet is just some honest practical wisdom. And instead, the Lord calls us to rise even higher if we can, to respond with blessing. Meet evil with good. Meet reviling with blessing. To look for something good that we can do to the person, that we can pray for an enemy. Something good that we can speak well about them. A gentle answer turns away wrath. And so it's a tremendous challenge. But then if we remember, again, the overall context of 1 Peter, it helps to remember the example of the Lord. You remember, I think it's in chapter 2, Peter's already taken us to the example of the Lord and his silence before his false accusers. That's chapter 2 from verse 21 onwards. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. We have to think about how the Lord endured a show trial. And lawyers trying to trick him in his words, capture him in his words, false accusations, impossible questions to answer, false witnesses, all those things hurled at him. And the Lord just remained silent. He answered them not a word. And he just showed such dignity and restraint. His holy silence was magnificent. And so Peter's telling us in verse 9, to this we are called. And so just very simply tonight, when people curse you or insult you, even for serving Christ, it's not unexpected. To this you are called, Peter says. This is what it is to be like Christ, to be conformed to Christ, to live like Christ, to follow his example, and to be like him in this world. And so don't be discouraged, but encouraged. Let that example of Christ guide you. Police the tongue. And we'll come back in future weeks to looking at the blessings that are promised for those who are peacemakers. May the Lord help us to be so. Let us pray. Our loving Father, we thank you for being slow to anger and quick to forgive. And that you have not judged us as our sins deserve, but in love you gave your Son to rescue us. Because, Lord, even if we just thought about the sins of our tongues, in our speech and our words, there would be more sins than we could count. And we are ashamed, Lord, of the times we have spoken in evil ways about others, when, Lord, we have told lies, when, Lord, we have even failed to respond to evil in quite the right way. Lord, we are sorry for these things and we humble ourselves. We do confess the power of the tongue, that it is like a restless evil that we have to control. And so we do thank you, Lord, that we are now joined to the perfect man, to Jesus Christ, who never uttered a single word out of place, who always has spoken what is right. And we thank you, Lord, that his power and his life and his spirit are at work in us. So please, Lord, conform us to be like him. Mold us to be like him. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to respond to reviling with blessing, to meet evil with good. And please help us to control how we speak for his sake. Amen.